WGN. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we check in with Craig Bolanos, who is the CEO, founding partner of Wealth Management Group. And Craig, it's nice to talk to you here during the daytime, too. How are you doing, bud?
Hey, fantastic. Love being on the noon hour. And I got to tell you, it's been an exciting week. I mean, the most heralded event of all time, the mega event, was, of course, going to be, were we going to get those 50 basis points or 25 basis points a cut? Well, I guess that cat's out of the bag. We all know what we got. And now the question is this economy going to remain in its what I call slow growth mode, the soft landing? And if so, all's going to be good on a Friday in Chicago.
You often say to me, buy the hype, sell the news. And I feel like investors, I don't know, they're kind of still trying to shake out what the news means to them, right? We had the market down a little bit on Wednesday after going up after the announcement. Then you had a big day yesterday, little pullback today. Are people just kind of going tiptoeing through the next few days here?
Well, I think people are being cautious going into the weekend because geopolitics for traders still matter. Look at all of the issues overseas. Israel, Hezbollah, Israel, Hamas. People don't want to have long positions going into a weekend if they're a trader. But for investors, you want to be an owner in this market. And I hope everyone recognizes right now that we do have a easing Fed, slowing, but it's okay, economic data. Generally, earnings have been solid, and we have positive momentum coming into the end of September. So barring a geopolitical concern or some form of a growth scare, this market's okay right now as of the 20th of September.
I wonder, dollar cost averaging, we talk about it a lot, right? Like if you have extra money on the side and you're going to invest it into more passive ways to do things, right? You're just trying to grow. You want to be in the market for the long term. We talk about that a lot. You kind of like want to set a schedule to it, right? No matter whether the market's up or down, I'm putting in these dollars on these days and the trust that it will work out. I will say that can get hard. Like I usually do it on a Friday. Boy, the market was at like all-time highs yesterday. I have trepidation putting the money in maybe the day after that. But Craig, I guess it's trust the plan and go with it, even though it doesn't always sometimes seem to be the perfect time. But timing is going to be the worst thing you can try and estimate.
Well, that's just right. And we can learn from all of those tremendous athletes, those Olympic athletes, those that represent our country and bring back gold medals. And what do they talk about? They talk about trusting the process. You have to fall in love with the process. And I think your dollar cost averaging is just that. It is nothing more than a process. And if people should fall in love with that process, then all is going to be okay over time. But John, you always tease me about my axioms. You know, you just mentioned, you know, buy the rumor, sell the news. Well, here's another one, John. New highs tend to make new highs. And how many new highs have we already had this year? So people shouldn't fear investing at a high because new highs make new highs.
Until they don't.
Well, until they don't, of course. Until they don't. But, you know, I think the real soup du jour is, you know, did the Federal Reserve cut rates in time? And if the Federal Reserve did cut rates in time, then I got good news for everybody. The falling yields, continued strong economic growth, positive economic tailwinds, all of that can, in fact, lead to a market that meets maximum expectations and we go higher. Likewise, oh my heavens, if the Fed did not cut in time and they are behind the curve and they have yet made the third mistake in a handful of years, well, then buckle your seatbelt. Everyone's going to want to revisit their asset allocation and bonds are probably going to be investors' friend.
I was chatting the other night with one of my guests about why half a percentage point instead of a quarter. He brought up a really good point, the idea that, you know, they don't meet again for another 7 or 8 weeks, which is standard, but you're going to get two unemployment numbers or jobs numbers before then. And I imagine the thought process may have been, hey, look, we're going to get to 50 basis points here soon enough. The worst thing that from the Fed's perspective would be to not do anything or go down to a quarter point and being seen later after, let's say there were two bad jobs numbers, that, oh my gosh, the market then would be clamoring for something more. So maybe they hedged a little of that on the front end.
And you're right. I'm so happy you turned the focus to jobs because the Fed has that dual mandate, stable prices. I don't like shrinkflation. But for all intents and purposes, John, we have year-over-year stable prices now. Check the box. What we're really concerned about is what you said. It's the jobs market and making sure we don't have things fall off. So I think you're right. We took a little bit of Tylenol. We took a little aspirin here with a 50 basis point cut as a preventative measure just in case.
Craig Bolanos, Wealth Management Group, continuing our chat. Now, Craig, the last couple of years, appointment TV was 7:30 in the morning at the release of the CPI data. And now they're kind of ho-hum. I mean, we want to look and make sure that what's been happening continues to happen. But then it's now the jobs. Is this now the big pivot that now the Friday jobs report that we get first Friday of the month, that's where our eyes are going?
All eyes should be on jobs. All eyes should be on labor because, again, what's going to power markets going forward is economic growth. We've just realized the vision of where rates are going. That's been fulfilled. The inflation story is done for all intents and purposes. Jobs are in the crosshairs.
Right. And I know when you say that the inflation story is done, you don't mean, of course, that the average American isn't still feeling it, but the idea of the leap already happened, right? Now we're entering a phase of somewhat normal inflation or getting close to it. Doesn't mean that the sticker shock still is not there.
Oh, the sticker shock is terrible. I mean, John, every time I go and get my favorite bag of chips, I know it. I'm an aficionado. There's 5 to 7 less chips in that bag. When I get my unsweetened iced tea, it's an ounce and a half left, and all of them cost way more. I guess I've just accepted that that's not going to change.
Right. No, and exactly. And you got to be careful what you wish for. No doubt it would make us feel temporarily better to go to the grocery store and see falling prices. But Craig, that is usually symptomatic of something way worse that's happening somewhere else down the line.
That's right. I mean, we don't want to see a slowdown in demand. And let's remember, what we do well in America, what we do well in the United States of America, is we are the world's consumer. No one has the per capita spending that we have. And that's why the jobs are so important. I mean, retail spending, our consumption is 2/3 of our economy. So jobs are paramount because when people have no job, then they have no money. Hence, they have no discretionary spending, and then it's just a domino effect from there. So yeah, Let's focus on the jobs because the earnings and the rest will come from such.
You know Craig is serious when he says the United States of America, when he gives it the full and proper name. That's when I know you're about to rah-rah. And maybe the rah-rah continues here, Craig, because I saw the UK bank isn't lowering their interest rates. They're still dealing with inflation higher than ours. And you look across the rest of the G7 countries, and boy, I know it's been hard, but we've handled this, I think, a little better, whether that's by policy or luck, I don't know, but than the other developing nations.
Whether it's by policy, whether it's by luck, or whether it's just orchestrated on this open and free market that we truly have here in America, I think that's one of the reasons that when we catch a cold, we tend to recover a little bit quicker than other countries that are out there, and I just want the success to continue.
You mentioned the jobs. We did get one data point, although not the big jobs number, showing initial jobless claims falling to the lowest level in 4 months. So it isn't fait accompli that this jobless number is going to go up, is it?
No. I mean, and even when I look at the most recent non-farm payrolls, I mean, you know, 3 months ago we were doing 216,000. You know, now we're down, for all intents and purposes, to 142,000. It's still 142,000 new jobs. We're just not growing at the pace we were. But if we can stay in this slow growth environment, have the Fed put be back on the table, and hopefully not see any other geopolitical hotspots become even hotter around the world, I think we're in a good spot where the American CEO is going to do what she or he needs to do to maximize profitability on the back of the American consumer somehow hanging in there.
Invest with WMG.com, 833-WMG-PLAN. What happens when someone calls you, Craig? What's that conversation like if they're starting out?
Well, you know what? I want people to call. I want people to be empowered with information. At the Wealth Management Group, we have the hearts of teachers. We know that when we share with you the tools and techniques that are best spoken, customized for your family, then those families can start crafting their own journey, whether it's saving for college, helping with debt consolidation, or doing what matters to so many, which is not just getting retired, but staying retired. That's what the conversations are about, John, and they are deep and they are meaningful through the Wealth Management Group.
I don't want to be this direct, but I think it's important because we have people on the show who talk about how to maybe pick advisors the right way, the wrong way, etc. How do you get paid? I'm sorry to ask it that directly.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine. We do not believe in conflicts. We want to sit on the same side of the table of all the families that we represent. And that's why it's so important at the Wealth Management Group that we adhere to that fiduciary standard. And we encourage all of those who are in the marketplace to understand how you're seeking advice. And I think when you can clear conflicts and know that the people who are going to represent you, your interests are working under that strict fiduciary standard, it puts everybody at a higher level of trust. And it doesn't guarantee the outcomes, but it increases the likelihood that the outcome is aligned.
Yeah, thanks for answering that. Such a direct question, but I think people always want to know that, and you gave a great answer in that regard. Craig Bolanos, as always, good to talk to you, my friend.
Yeah, be well, John. Absolutely. Let's go Bears.
Let's go Bears, and go Blackhawks.
Oh, 'tis the season for the ice.
Sure is. Invest with WMG.com, 833-WMG-PLAN. And it's John Hanson on the Wintrust Business Lunch. And, well, just earlier this week, I think it was Monday, we were talking to Tom Gimbel. Everyone's coming back 5 days a week. Amazon's bringing everyone back. Traffic certainly feels like 5 days a week. Driving in, that certainly felt like that. That's not always the case, though. And there's a company, a Chicago-based company, Sikich, that is really making sure that employees know that they have a flexible work schedule and remote is part of that. Chris Geyer is the CEO. He joins us now. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, John. Doing great today. How are you?
I'm great. Can you explain what your company is?
Yeah, you bet. So Sikich, as you said, we're based here in Chicago. We're about 1,900 employees now worldwide. Really a company specializing in technology-enabled professional services. So a lot of compliance-related services, financial services, and then we do a lot in the tech space as well, John. ERP systems, CRM, managed services, and the like.
I knew most of what you just said, not all of it, but that's okay. You don't have to explain everything perfectly to me. I'm sure you did. But I'm just curious.
Yeah.
It's a tech company, and a lot of tech companies were a little bit more lenient, and some remain that way about work schedules, simply because of the nature of the jobs. But you guys seem to be extraordinarily so. Why and how?
Yeah, so, you know, it's actually a cultural element for us, John, I guess I would say is, and it's something I sort of brought with me when I came to Sikich, but, you know, I have this real belief in really trust is at the core of our culture and what allows our people to be empowered to do their jobs. Of course, we have to provide the tools necessary and the help that they might need, but then, you know, allow them to kind of do their jobs, get out of their way and trust them to do their jobs well. They take full ownership. That obviously is a big part of it for their deliverables and their client service, but as well, you know, their team members and kind of owning their jobs and what they're responsible for, and of course owning what comes next. And so for us at Sikich, we were remote well before COVID. We had probably close to 30% of our employees remote prior to COVID, even. And certainly being a tech enabled firm has allowed us to do that. So we have the ability to work from anywhere around the world. And today we're at about 80% of our total workforce, John, is what we call a committed remote worker, which just means that they can come to an office. We have a number of offices around the country and the globe at this point that they can go to an office anytime they'd like, but they've actually committed to be remote, meaning we don't have to have a permanent office for them. And so it's working really well for us. You know, productivity is up. You know, culture is strong. It's I believe it's the right way to go.
Okay, so this all sounds great, right? If you can't trust your employees to work where they work best, you got the wrong employees. That sounds right. A little kumbaya-y to me, Chris, I have to admit, because I've done work from home, and I find myself so guilt-ridden over it that I usually work harder. I know other people are not like that. How do you handle, because there's no way 100% of your employees you feel like you're getting the most out of them, right?
That's right. I would love to think that it's 100%, but I'll tell you, John, I have this conversation with our recruitment folks, is that I tell them, they've got the most important job here at Sikich, because they do need to bring those types of people, John, that will come into Sikich and be on the edge of their seat, right, and not have to have someone looking over their shoulder 100% of the time. Now, do we have that right 100% of the time? No, you're right. We don't, but that's certainly what we're striving for. And of course, we realize that there's a need to have strong employment engagement with these people. And so that doesn't mean that they sit at home, 24/7 every day of the year, right? So we allow the teams to be very flexible in how they work and how they can get together and operate and work on those cultural elements sort of at a micro level, if you will, a smaller team level. We allow a lot of flexibility for that. And I think that's what allows those teams to kind of do what works best for them, frankly.
We're chatting with Chris Geyer of Sikich, Sikich.com, Sikich.com. Chris, I see what you're seeing here too. And just to put a finer point on it, that by having this very flexible policy where then people need to rise and meet the occasion, you essentially get to weed out the people that don't, and then maybe those aren't the employees you wanted anyways. So in some ways, you're saying that this policy not only makes for happier employees, but it makes for happier employers too.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And I've always said, John, that, and maybe it's a little bit different, certainly there's the change in environment that we're operating today, competitive for really top talent. And that's great. That's where we want to be. We want championship players on our team because we want to win championships. We want to bring championships to Chicago. And so I think that's part of it for us, is that you're right. We have to find those really good people. And it's a competitive advantage for us, quite frankly, that we can offer this remote work environment. And we've seen that. And so that's beneficial, for us too. And I've always said that having employees that are happy in their work and are doing a good job in their work, the benefactors of that are really our clients. And at the end of the day, my priority is our people first. And if they're well taken care of and they've got a great work environment and great teams to work with, our clients will be the benefactors of that.
What a year did Sikich start, by the way?
Sikich started in 1982.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're an old company. Well, then here's my question. Was this always the policy that then got accelerated through COVID, or was this kind of discovered through the COVID years that this would be the way to work this the best?
Yeah, no. As I said, we were really about 30%, because of the big tech presence in our business, of remote workers. Consulting, that's not an uncommon thing for consultants to work sort of in a remote fashion. So a fair amount of our business is that type of consulting. And so, no, but I did ask our CIO to, let's put ourselves in a position where our employees can work from anywhere around the globe. So, be tech enabled in that manner. And so we did that prior to COVID. And so when COVID hit, it was pretty easy for us to just kind of flip a switch, if you will, and have all of our folks, working remotely. And since that time, we really embraced that. And as I said, now we're up to over 80% of our folks are remote workers. So I wouldn't say that it was in the DNA of Sikich initially from the very beginning, but we certainly accelerated that since the time I've been the CEO and, of course, coming out of COVID.
It's interesting. It doesn't work for every company, obviously, and every job. Obviously, that doesn't always work. No. But you are pursuing and continuing a model that becomes rarer and rarer the further we get away from the pandemic. And I wonder how companies will react as we continue on. All right, Chris, I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thank you, John.
That's Chris Geyer of Sikich. Okay, It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute. Let's go to Steve Rzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The Amazon Fulfillment Center in Chicago's Goose Island is closing. The company has filed paperwork with the state of Illinois that says 211 employees will receive layoff notices in November. Amazon says the workers will have the option to relocate to nearby sites. The nearly 52,000-square-foot fulfillment center at 1111 North Cherry opened a decade ago. It was one of the first distribution centers opened in Chicago. Amazon opened a larger warehouse last October in West Humboldt Park, and Cranes reports some of the workers impacted by this closure could relocate there. Christy George has been named CEO of Intersect Illinois. That's the state of Illinois' private sector partner focused on economic development. George recently oversaw planning for the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. She previously had roles on Governor Pritzker's economic team. She replaces Dan Seals, who left Intersect Illinois back in July. I'm Steve Brzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
All right, the man of many business ofs brings us the best, the business of food, Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you, and it's a Mr. Fizz Friday. Our gardening guru, Jim Fizzell, is on the line.
Hello, Steve.
Last week you talked about the drought, and it's still dry.
Yeah, Greg Solier said that we can expect our drought to continue through well into October, and he said we're going to have temperatures generally 8 to 10 degrees above normal for that period. Sunny and dry, that's not encouraging as far as gardening is concerned, but sure nice to be outdoors when the weather's like that.
I hope he's wrong.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, you've got other things on your mind, which we will talk about after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There has never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Okay, Mr. Fizz, what else is on your mind?
We have a lot of houseplants that have been out for the summer that really need to get some protection, so we need to begin moving those in. And how do you do this? Well, a lot of them are exotic plants as well, like azaleas and poinsettias, and any of these can be moved in. In fact, you know, I have a friend that has an orange tree and a lemon tree. They're on rollers. So he has a big patio door, and he rolls them up a ramp into the dining room. That's where they spend the winter. And they do get fruit on them. But anyway, you want to get your plants moved to a place where you can handle them. They need to be used to less light, shorter days. They need to be used to lower temperatures if you can find a shady place to put them. If you have a cool basement or someplace like that, maybe it's best to move them right indoors. Otherwise, when you move them in from high light and warm temperatures into the indoor conditions, these plants suffer. They're going to lose lower leaves, and that's normal. But the longer the time between bringing those plants in to acclimate them and moving them into the house, the more likely they are to not suffer as much. Clean the pots and the plants themselves, get all the dirt and dust and so forth off of them. And if you have any insect problems, that's the time to correct them before you bring them into the house. Incidentally, be sure you make your entries in your garden journal when you're doing all these fancy things so that you know how you did them and what you can do with them next year.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru. Thank you, sir. On the food calendar, it's National Fried Rice Day. It's National Pepperoni Pizza Day, National String Cheese Day, and to wash it all down, it's National Punch Day.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Hey, it's a big weekend in historic downtown Long Grove. I love Long Grove. I got to visit there when I went to the Village Tavern for a TV shoot. I think it's the oldest continuing operating restaurant in Illinois. A great space. And joining me right now is Ryan Messner with some exciting news about this weekend in Long Grove. Hello, Ryan.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Love your town. Has that historic feel. People got to stop crashing into that bridge. I don't know what we got to do. You're trying your best out there to make sure that stops happening.
We do. Unfortunately, well, if you come out this weekend to Long Grove Apple Fest, you'll see some salsas out there that the difference between hot, medium, and mild is which truck went through the label. So gotta have fun where fun is.
Gotta have fun, exactly. Yeah, you mentioned Apple Fest. Tell me a little bit about it.
So obviously, this is our third and final big event for the year. Which is, you know, again, everything Apple's in Long Grove, but for us, more of a downtown, it's a big push for us economically. It gives us a great third quarter to go into the holiday season. But again, it's all about getting ready for fall and then, you know, bringing families out and enjoying just, you know, whether it's music, carnivals, food, shopping. It's just it's a great weekend for us.
You know, I'm actually really, it's refreshing to hear you just remind people of the economic impact that these events have on local businesses when they enter maybe slower periods of the season. Yeah, Apple Fest is fun, and we'll get into some of those details. But I think it is good to remind folks that we need to support our local communities and the efforts happening in them to keep these businesses that we love alive.
It does. And for us, it makes a humongous difference. You know, what's been unique over the last few years, if you watch communities where they've lost business because of all the economic downturns, in Long Grove, we've actually gained businesses, and we're seeing redevelopment going on because it brings so much draw to the community. So for us, it's really had a great impact.
Yeah. All right, well, paint a picture for me. I'm walking into Apple Fest. I pay my $5 per day. What a great price that is. Kids under 12 are free. And what happens next? Where am I walking into? What does it look like, feel like, smell like?
Well, you know, if you're looking to go shopping, you're going to walk down through one side of the street and go shopping, or go into all of our local stores. If you're thinking, you know, I got to get some food first before I take on the next, you're going to go check out all, you know, our 10 different food vendors, from barbecue to pizza to we've got a Mongolian restaurant. So just a full variety. If you're saying, I need something refreshing, you may try the Lions Club Sangria. You may try a nice cold, you know, apple cider beer. We've got everything for everyone. Or if I'm a child and I've got my kids with me, I want to go get some apple cider. It depends. We've got everything for everyone.
Is each booth like have something apple in it, or does the apple part of the festival happen in some other way? You kind of see what I'm asking here?
Yeah. So every food vendor has an apple-themed item or items as part of their event. Every drink type of situation will have something apple-themed. And then obviously a lot of our merchants and vendors and stores have apple-themed or fall-themed items that they can shop and enjoy in town.
Can I leave with a bag of apples too? Like, how does that work?
You can. We actually have an amazing apple grower from Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, that is out here. He's got 30,000 apples out here today. We have set up a farm stand right at the center of town where you can get 9 different varieties of apples, and you find it through town. I mean, we've got apples and decorations, but yeah, you can walk out of here with bags of apples that were just picked this week off the trees.
I got to imagine an Apple Fest, or really any great fest, you got some sort of pie eating contest, don't you? I bet, right?
Yeah, we do. On Saturday, Sundays, we do a pie eating contest for kids and then for adults. And it always starts with the kids, and obviously that's enjoyable. But then you get to watch the adults try to follow, and it's memorable when you get a couple minutes to try eating as much of the pie as possible. And after watching kids, adults get pretty competitive.
Yeah.
And
When the kids do it, it's cute.
Walking away, you're full.
When the kids do it, it's cute. And then the adults do it, it's a little scary. But you respect the Olympic athletes that they are. Obviously, there's DJs, there's bands playing too at Apple Fest. I mean, this is kind of what Long Grove, you've really kind of built this calendar to make your town a place to be a destination for, not only once in a year. You have a few signature events throughout the year.
We do. We do 12 events throughout the course of the year. Obviously, Apple Fest, Strawberry Fest, Chocolate, those are our big three. And then we have a lot of small ones, you know, and it's, you know, that we enjoy. And it's really more community-driven, where when we do the big ones, it's a bigger spread, bigger radius around a Long Grove. But we do this just to attract theme type of items. So if it's a vintage days, it fits with our town, the vintage mullet model. If we do a cocoa crawl, it's all about hot chocolate that early spring or late winter, to where you come out and enjoy the cold and get hot chocolate all through town. So we try to accommodate different themes throughout the year to bring attraction to town and some excitement.
That's great stuff. Give me the who, what, where, when, how to get to Apple Fest and where they can get tickets, etc.
So the biggest thing you can do is go to longgrove.org. You can get all the information about, obviously, local parking. We have shuttle parking that brings you into Long Grove if you want to park in Buffalo Grove. Obviously, this event is on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Today, we're open till 11 o'clock. On Saturday, we go from 10 to 11 o'clock, and on Sunday, we go from 10 to 6. It's open for all. We are pet-friendly, so if someone does have a dog, as long as they're on a leash, they're welcome to come down, and we just want people to enjoy.
I love that. Historic Long Grove, you guys do great work there. Ryan Messner, good luck this weekend. Have fun, okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great day.